Gil, this episode is sponsored by CISO. They're a brand new sponsor of ours.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have
them. Don't call me Gil.
Sorry.
That implies friendship.
I apologize.
Really, and I don't like you.
Comedy Gil is experienced. Gilbert is experiencing a serious renaissance right now.
Mr.
Godfrey. Did you know that? And CISO is a comedy streaming service that's tailor-made for comedy lovers and nerds. That might include us.
No, we're too cool.
With thousands of hours of the best comedy, 24/7, 365. You go to CISO.com and stream for free today. No credit card needed.
Tonight, our show is coming from Madison Square Garden. Yeah. I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and on piano...
I'm Joe McGinty.
Joe McGinty! Yeah.
And this is our, I think, 100th episode.
100. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like yesterday we were in a pizzeria and you were abandoning
that,
the idea.
Yes, yes, this is true. I'm not going to say the guy's name, but we tried to interview him. And then afterwards, we thought, well, can we cut that part and that part and that? And then after a while, we were sitting in a pizzeria, and I said, you know, we tried. And I don't think this podcast is a good idea.
And here we are.
Yeah.
100 episodes later, and it feels like we've done 500.
Oh, my God, yeah. And working with you, it feels like even 1,000.
Can I read some credits to thank some people who made this possible before we start? Mike McPadden is here, our social media guru. Mike McBeardo. Darren Foster, our other social media maven. Paul Rayburn, our researcher, is not here, but he's indispensable. Jessica Wynn, our photographer. Our engineer, Frank Verderosa. Where are you, Frankie? Right there at Nutmeg. We want to thank all the people at Nutmeg. And I'll go quickly to all the people who've made 100 shows possible. John Bradley Seals, our web designer, Wade Snook, Brendan Bliss, who is here somewhere. You'll be hearing more about him in the near future. Gene Beretta, Ryan Dillon, and Mark Gale, who you'll also be hearing about when we put something cool up on social media soon. Neil Berkeley, Alex Brazell is here. Andrea Simmons, John Murray, Glenn Schwartz. We want to thank all the people who've helped us book guests. Jeff Abraham, Stuart Hirsch, Danny Duraney, Matt Beckoff, Ryan Levy, Kathy Schaefer, Paul's wife, Cliff Nesteroff, Alan Zweibel, and Bobby Slayton, who is here in the sound booth. Mr. Slayton, former guest. Quickly, I'll get through this. We want to thank everybody at Sideshow Network, our partners, Rodney, Sean Marrick, Heather, Maria, Andrew, and Andrew, Brian Sussman, Andrew Byrne, Andrew Steven, and Brian Sussman. Everybody here at Sirius who made this possible, Don Wicklin and Eric E-Rock Nagel, and the fabulous Joe McGinty on keyboards. We already did. I want to thank my wife for making this, for putting up with a lot over the last 2 years. And, of course, always last but not least, the person who had this idea originally, Dara Gottfried. Yay! Thank you, Dara. So we got our thank yous out of the way.
Yes.
So what do you think?
And, I would just like to say I'm not going to tell Mr. Skin or anyone here whether or not I ever jerked off to that site. I'm just keeping that a secret.
We should point out that for the 100th episode, we decided to do something different.
Yes.
So we do not have...
We want to make it entertaining this time. Yeah. <see? laughs>
So we don't have a big-time celebrity guest this week, although two ex-guests are in the house, Mr. Skin, Jim McBride, and Bobby Slayton, are here. So we thought we would talk to our listeners and our fans. And, I mean, we get hundreds and hundreds of tweets and Facebook messages, and I thought this would be an opportunity to hear them out.
We get dozens of tweets. And over the years. Yeah. It's, yeah.
We hope that we have some phone calls, and also we have a live audience here. We're at Sirius XM, which I don't think we said.
Yeah. It's the only way I'm allowed in at Sirius nowadays.
Oh, that's sad. So we're going to take some questions from both our live studio audience. I guess we've got about 50 people, 40 people here. And we're going to take some questions from you guys, callers. Do we have any callers? Eric Nagel.
This is going to be so embarrassing. Yeah.
Nice touch.
Could you do like a phony voice and talk to us? Say you're from Ohio.
Okay, no calls yet.
No calls yet. Now, wait a minute. Nagel told me that there were 15 callers before we came into this room. What happened?
Now, I want you to know, before this started, we were having a discussion on should we have previous guests call in. And we said, no, that's going to take up too much time. And
because
there'll be a deluge of callers calling into this show.
Oh,
and
why don't we do this then? I feel like I'm a fundraiser.
Why don't we go out
PBS.
In the... Yes.
We're going to go out in the street?
Yeah, we'll go out in the street
interviews.
And beg.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Why don't we take some questions from the nice people in the room, and then we'll wait for a call to kick in. All right. So help us out here, nice folks, people in the room, fans of the podcast. We feel so supported. Don't you feel supported?
Yes.
All these people
yes.
in the room.
It doesn't bother me at all that not one human being... in this country or Australia is calling.
It might be a technical issue. Let's start with this gentleman right here. Brendan.
Maybe what's the most irritated you've been with Gilbert during an episode?
This moment. Do you know the episode that required the most edits? I'll bet you can guess. But Darren knows.
Oh, wait. There were a few.
In 100 episodes, who do you think went farthest off the rails?
Oh.
Any guesses?
Yeah. Oh, God.
That is correct. Frank Frederosa. Gary Busey episode.
Oh, yes. Which come as a shock to a lot of people. That Gary Busey.
Gary, the average episode, thank you, Don. The average episode requires anywhere between 5 to 10 edits. So, you know, there'll be audio problems. Gilbert will say something that Dara will call me and say, please save him from himself and take that out of the show. But Gary Busey was something like 29 edits because he was just... My favorite part of that show, by the way, was I was on... that was the first one we did where Gilbert was live in the room in L.A. And I was sick in New York, and I was on the phone. And Gary Busey said, I don't know you, but you sound like a little girl wearing a child's wig. And I don't know what that means to this day. We have someone on the line.
Oh, my God.
Do you know this name?
Oh, wait.
Gino Salamone.
Oh, yes.
Is on the line. Gino, are you there?
Oh, well, this is going well.
Hello?
Gino.
Oh, yes.
Hi, fellas.
Hi, buddy. Gino's calling from Milwaukee. How did I know that?
You are unbelievable.
Yeah, that's me.
I want to tell you how this podcast has ruined my life.
Go ahead. You're on the
late
air, buddy.
Night, okay, I understand. Late at night, if I've had a rough day, I will go to YouTube and look at old Jack Frost.
We'll explain what that is.
That's the Bob Hope video. And Gilbert and I had talked about this. When Bob was near the end of his life, his voice was really high.
Yeah, it like, see, Bob Hope used to be like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. And that when he became older then and frail, it was like, hey, how about that Brooke Shields, huh? She's up, Nils.
He turned into Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
Gino, I'm just going to take a moment to tell anybody that doesn't know, that isn't familiar with what you're talking about, you have to go to YouTube and look at this Bob Hope special. It was one of the last ones when Bob was losing
it. It was like you'll swear when you watch it that Bob Hope had already been dead for 10 years.
And he's dressed as Jack Frost.
A little stringy white beard and an elf costume and a pointed hat.
And icicles dangling off of his face and eyebrows. Truly
and
painful.
You could see he doesn't know his own name. The only idea I have of watching this, his wife Dolores is in it. And I think this was her revenge for all the times he fucked around on her.
That was it? That was her plot, to put him in a Jack Frost book costume and put him on national television. You got to see it. Gino, what else, buddy?
Okay, one more thing, too. I've known Gilbert many years. I never knew how much he loved to sing. And Larry Ragland, a comedian I'd never heard of, the dummy in the window.
Okay, Gino. We'll let him.
Episode. Let's have a few lines.
Thank you, buddy. Do you take requests? Tell a little dummy in the window.
Okay.
Joe, you'll have to wing this one.
Okay.
You don't know dummy in the window?
Should I give this some context?
What kind of a musician are you?
Do you want to explain dummy in the window?
There used to be this comedian around the clubs named Larry Ragland. He used to sing this on stage. And it went a little something like this. Today I saw a dummy in the window. I looked and it was you wearing a new dress as usual, trying to look your best. Impossible, 'cause with you it's not really what you wear. Why don't you wash your face? It's a disgrace. Today.
All right, I think we got it. Thank you, Gino Salamone. I have a feeling there's got to be a lot of singing in this episode. I'm told Rich in Pennsylvania is on line one. Rich, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, guys. Long-time caller, first-time listener.
Okay. One in every crowd. What's up, Rich?
Okay. Well, I was listening to the Pat Cooper episode last week, and I really had to wonder, did you guys have paramedics standing on by in case you had like an embolism, an aneurysm, some kind of ism?
Were the paramedics standing by for the Pat Cooper episode?
Cooper, that was a great one.
Yeah.
And I think Pat Cooper, he said, why don't you give it up? You should have given it up after the game show. What are you still doing this shit for?
Well, we should explain, too, that we were trying to get Jack Carter on the show, who was the angriest person in the world, certainly the angriest comedian in the world, and he died after we booked him. And I said to Gilbert, and we really wanted him to come on the show and rant and rave. And then I said, boy, what about Pat Cooper? That would be a good fallback position.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody that...
As far as someone who really doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and he's a plug-and-play guest. I think we didn't talk pretty much in that episode.
That was pretty much we were sitting there in the room with him.
Yeah.
And he just rambles on.
He's pissed off about stuff that happened in 1957. he is not letting it go. But we loved him. I mean, would he come out of the hospital for us?
Oh, yeah. And
he went right back.
And I think he said something like, he was talking about Ed Sullivan.
Right.
And he said, a panda taking a shit is funnier than Ed Sullivan.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks for the call. Did you have something else about Pat Cooper?
Another 100.
Oh, what?
Thank you, buddy. Oh, we appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Andrew in Chicago. Are you there?
Yeah,
Yes, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, Andrew. We're trying to save this from being a hot mess. What do you got?
Oh, Gilbert, I want to know, have you ever heard the Paul Lynn story from when Paul Lynn was on an airplane?
Oh, I don't
Do you know the Paul Lynn airplane story?
All right, this is what it is, and this is going to get really blue, actually. I think Gilbert could like this. It's basically Paul Lynn was on an airplane, and there was a young infant behind him that was screaming ballistically. And so Paul Lynn turns around and looks at the mother and says, "Hey, either you shut that child up or I'm going to fuck it."
That's the story. You don't know that story.
No, but I'm going to keep telling it like I was there. And we just recently... we just recently interviewed the original host of Hollywood Squares, Peter Marshall.
Yeah, he's 90 and sharp, yeah.
Yeah, totally sharp. And I asked him, I think he was there when Paul... okay, here's the story the way I heard it.
Raise your hand if you've never heard the Paul Lynn story on the show.
The Paul Lynn story was they were going into the Gold Digger Dancers dressing room. That's Dean Martin's Gold Digger Dancers. And Paul Lynn said, "This place smells like cunt, I think." And I asked Peter Marshall, and he corrected me.
Yes.
Peter Marshall
this is a corrected version
said
of this.
Very seriously, no, he didn't say cunt. He said pussy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is an educational show.
It is an educational show. He took it very seriously. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, I have one more question, if you guys don't mind.
Go quick.
So, Gilbert, is there any way we could hear the Alan Thicke theme song, Thick of the Night?
Is there any way?
Okay.
You listen to the show?
As done by Old Groucho.
Oh, sung
oh
by
God.
Old Groucho.
Oh, you put a wrinkle in it.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the call,
believe
Andrew.
It or not, this is the first time I've tried this one. Oh. Mama's rose leaves a light on. I'm on the road tonight. Everyone needs a dream to hold on. I want to make it on my own. Running in the thick of the night. Under the city light. Running in the thick of the night.
Beautiful. Oh, that's not a dry seat in the house. Thank you, Andrew. You're a sport. That was the Thick of the Night theme sung by 80-year-old, 85-year-old, enfeebled Groucho Marx. Don or Dan? Is this Dan in Baltimore?
He gave up.
Dan is gone.
See, there's Dan in Baltimore hung up.
You lost him. You lost him with the Paul Lynn story.
That Dan was the baby in the airplane.
All right, let me see what else I have on the list. Is Gene Beretta there?
Fellas.
Gene, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hi.
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We should explain. Gene is someone who did he did an illustration for Gilbert as a gift that you have on your your dresser. And
I don't know if I've ever told this story. But for the first time, let's see if I remember it. There was an actor, Cesar Romero. And Cesar Romero was a Latin lover, but in real life was actually gay. And not that there's anything wrong with that. And
hang on, Gina, we'll get to you.
What he was into more than anything else was gathering up a bunch of his boy toys, pulling his pants and underwear down, bending over and having them throw orange wedges at his ass. And I don't know how, what day he woke up and said, hey, you know what would feel really good? Having orange wedges thrown at my ass. Now, some argue that it was tangerine.
Yeah.
There was no one arguing ever that it didn't happen. It's just a matter of what citrus fruit.
Well, some dilettantes say it was clementines.
Some say it was entire grapefruits.
So Gene, who's on the phone, who's a children's book author and illustrator, did a lovely rendering
of
Cesar Romero in Joker makeup.
There we go.
Thank you, Joe McGinty, throwing the oranges in question at Caesar's tush. Anton in New Jersey, line two.
Hello, gentlemen.
How are you?
Hi.
And I use that term loosely. I have here Vincent Price with some trivia questions for you.
Oh, fuck.
Now, these are not questions about Vincent Price. This is Vincent Price asking questions. Would you like to field a couple?
Oh, wait a minute. Is this from that electronic board game where the Vincent Price trivia thing from the 70s?
1980.
Bill
Bradley put out a game called the Omni Electronic Entertainment System.
Right.
With a cart called Vincent Price TV and Movie Trivia.
Yeah.
I've got a couple here.
There was an episode of The Simpsons where they brought out like some kind of magic kit, and Lisa goes, oh, this must be good. Vincent Price wouldn't lend his name to anything.
Fantastic. I know this game you're talking about. Okay, hit us, Anton. We'll give it our best shot.
All right, I'm gonna give you a softball one, all right?
Go ahead. This is in Vincent Price's voice, right? Oh, great. Fantastic.
All right, hold on.
Go, buddy.
All right, here we go. Softball.
Who played the part of the Joker in the TV series? One, Frank Gorshin. Two, Vincent Price. Three, Cesar Romero. Four, none of the above.
I throw my hands up on this one. I don't know. I'm
were you able
sorry.
To hear it? Good.
I'm a little embarrassed. Right.
We're stumped.
Yeah.
Stumped? Hold on.
Vincent Price was Egghead on the Batman series, and choice one, Frank Gorshin, was, of course, the Riddler. And everybody in this room knows that. Or they wouldn't be here.
And who was John Astin again?
He was the replacement Riddler.
Oh, when it was... Oh God, yeah. That's
when they
right.
When they didn't hit Gorshin's number.
Oh.
What else you got for us, Anton?
I got a little question about Laugh-In. Would you like to hear that?
Laugh-In. Okay. A Laugh-In question. Go.
Laugh-In. All right, here we go. Hold on.
True or false? Many popular sayings came out of the sketches in Laugh-In. Here comes the judge. That was one of the phrases.
That was
now,
true.
Is that a popular phrase? True or false? I think that's
yes.
False.
Yes, it was Pig Meat Markham.
Yes.
Right.
And originally, they would have Sammy Davis Jr.
Correct.
Doing that.
In the powdered wig.
And then they actually found Pig Meat Markham.
That's correct.
And had him on. Yeah. But there's something so wonderfully racist about Vincent Price going, and he would go, here come the Jews.
Thank you, Anton. That was fun. We talked to Vincent Price's daughter, by the way. We had her on the show.
Yeah, Victoria.
Whoops. Victoria Price. What do we got here? Mike, can this be true? Michael in Japan?
Oh.
Yes, that's...
Are they still angry?
Well, I never tell anyone what I'm listening to.
It was a fucking joke!
All is forgiven, Michael.
Well, maybe... I do know where there's an Affleck stand in one of the local department stores.
What is the question you have for us, sir? And are you listening to the show in Japan?
Yes. I download it every week, twice a week, actually.
You flatter us.
Your English is getting very good.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much. No, my question is this. You talk about all the older shows and movies you like. Is there anything in the past 10 or 15 years that's really wowed you? Like recently you talked about detective shows. Well, today detective shows have their individual episodes, but then they also have an overarching season-long story arc. Do you follow any shows like that, and what do you think of that kind of format?
You don't watch television.
No, I can't follow. Like, there are only shows that are popular now, and where I haven't seen one episode of.
Uh-huh. And you wear that as a badge of honor,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, yes. That I'm totally uninformed.
I sort of like the first season of True Detective. Not everybody did. My wife and I liked it. But does that...
There was that girl. I'll bring this to Mr. Skin. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Mr. Skin is in the audience. Yeah. Jim McBride, one of our previous guests.
Yeah, I saw that clip. That was good.
What was easier, that question or the Cesar Romero question? He was on that fast. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for your question. And thanks for listening all the way in Japan.
I recommend it to people all the time.
We appreciate that.
They don't understand what I'm saying.
And do they say, oh, fuck him?
Well, no more than anyone in America would.
Wait. I took a moment to go through 100 episodes this week and list some of... This mic's getting away from me. And list some of the songs, and this is a partial list. Some of the songs that you've... favored us with.
Well, I wasn't really ready, but
this is a partial list. The Lords of Flatbush theme, the Cinderella Liberty theme, which you sang to Paul Williams. That's a household hit. Bang the Drum Slowly. This is one of my favorites. The music from the movie Zapped with Scott Baio.
Yes. Thank you.
You sang the Rainbow Connection and the Phantom of the Paradise theme to Paul Williams.
Oh, yes.
You sang the Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean theme to a reluctant Bobby Slayton. You sang The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance and Town Without Pity with Paul Schaefer.
Yes.
You sang the theme from Foul Play to a very stunned Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Dummy in the Window, we already talked about. You did theme songs from F Troop, Car 54, Thick of the Night, Underdog with Bob Costas.
Oh, yes.
That was a highlight. Roger Ramjet, Captain Nice, and the 430 movie, the Burt Bacharach, to name a few. And you tried to sing Walk Away Renee with Michael McKean.
I think he was intimidated by my singing voice.
And, of course, the highlight of 100 episodes, the musical highlight, your duets with Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, my God.
Put on a Happy Face and Supercalifragilistic.
Yeah. Dick Van Dyke and I sang two duets together.
That was great.
That was an amazing...
A career highlight for you?
When you consider my career, it's not saying a hell of a lot.
if we have time, we'll come back and sing one of these.
Getting booked at Giggles in Long Island is a career highlight for me.
Anyway, that's just a partial list of some of Gilbert's, some of the tunes that he's warbled on the show. Wow, these people are calling.
And we, I think it was the guy whose name I still can't pronounce.
Greg Evigan.
Yes.
Yeah. You almost called him Glenn Evigan.
Yes. On the show. Yes. I was about to say, well, thank you, and Frank saw the shape my mouth was taking on, so he wrote down Greg on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And he had worked with this David Pomerantz.
David Pomerantz, yeah.
Who had written at least two of the songs from Zapped.
Did we stump you with that one, Joe? You got the songs from Zapped are not in your repertoire, your regular repertoire?
Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh. You want to do a little bit of Phantom of the Paradise?
Okay. Let's see. Okay.
Or Rainbow Connection?
Oh.
Well, let's do the Rainbow Connection.
Do you have Nice to Be Around?
That one I don't have.
So. Cinderella Liberty.
Fuck. Sorry. What use are you?
Why don't you do a little bit of Rainbow Connection?
Okay. Why? Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide. So many people refuse to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Beautiful. Paul Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Williams. It's a beautiful thing. Do we have another call?
You know, in fact, that reminds me, Gino told me he met Paul Williams recently.
Yeah.
And Paul Williams said, which should be on my tombstone, he said, you know, Gilbert could be very inappropriate.
Yeah. I urge you to go back and listen to the Paul Williams episode, and you'll know right away what he's referring to.
I did on the Paul Williams episode, I did a bit that I had done way before I met Paul Williams, which was Paul Williams fucking Shirley Temple. And I did it on Live with Kelly Ripa.
Yeah.
And it was real.
I missed that episode.
Yes. Yeah. And it went something like this. It was like, oh, Shirley, your pussy feels so good. Oh, thank you. Shove your dick in me, Mr. Williams.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's too bad that show, The Copycats, isn't around anymore. You'd be perfect for
it. See, a lot of people originally thought it came from Rich Little.
Yeah.
But that was my
thing. I don't think Paul's going to get over that trauma anytime soon from that episode. Paul,
I sang a duet of Nice to Be Around with Paul
from
Williams.
Cinderella Liberty.
That was also
a movie worth checking out. Marsha Mason, James Caan. Do we have Dave?
And Eli Wallach.
Do we have Dave from Chicago? Mr. E-Rock.
Yeah, hi guys, how are you doing?
Hey, Dave.
How's it going? I wanted to ask Gilbert about his infamous season on SNL.
What season?
yeah, exactly. Which season was that? I wanted to ask Gilbert, what do you consider to be the worst episode from that season, and why?
Oh, that's a tough one.
That was the 1980, 1979 to 80,
yeah,
or 1980?
80 to 81. That was a horrible time to be on the show, and a horrible season. And, well, I remember a few things. I remember I hated the writers hated me. So one time they wrote a funeral sketch where I was the body in the coffin. And there was another episode. You talk about why you got to be careful with these premises. They had David Carradine on the show. And they had written a bunch of things. And then they got the brainstorm that he had done that show, Kung Fu.
In the 70s, yeah.
And in Kung Fu, he's one of those characters who wanders from village to village, getting involved in people's lives. So they said, wouldn't it be funny if he's that character throughout the whole show and he just wanders in to bits? And when we were filming it, by the first bit, by the first second he shows up, everybody was thinking, oh, fuck, this was a bad idea.
That's the only SNL theme show I can think of.
Yes.
Where they had one idea that
it
they ran through 90
minutes.
It was a
horrible idea.
Yeah.
This, you know, imagine like those bits, the sketches on SNL where it starts off and, you know, this one's going to suck. Now, that you know, like multiplied by 10 right, sketches. Right. It was horrible.
There's a fun video, actually, of you you and the original cast, Denny Dillon and Rocket and Eddie Murphy, with Bill Murray in the dressing room, where he's giving everybody the pep talk.
And
he leans over and gives you a little rub, a little lucky rub on the head. And you got the fro.
Oh, yes.
It's very strange. Very strange to see.
And I remember that's the one, like, Paul Schaefer has said to me several times, he goes, you know, Harry Shearer hates you. he hates you. And it's because on the show, in that bit, it's supposed to be Bill Murray's giving us a pep talk. And first he says, introduce yourselves. So, like, Charlie Rocket comes on and says, well, I'm Charlie Rocket. I'm kind of like Chevy Chase. And Joe Piscopo says, I'm Joe Piscopo. I'm kind of like Dan Aykroyd. And I said, I'm Gilbert Gottfried. I'm kind of a mixture of John Belushi and that other guy who used to do imitations who nobody remembers. And Harry Shearer identified himself.
Yeah, but Michael McKean said, if Harry Shearer hates you, you're in very, very good company.
Yes.
and not exclusive company either. Dave, thanks so much for the call and the question, buddy.
Thank you very much.
So a big thanks to our friend CISO for sponsoring today's show. Go to CISO.com to stream the original series, The UCB Show. Love UCB. Catch all 8 episodes of Pure Sketch Comedy Gold, featuring the comedy stars of tomorrow and your longtime UCB favorites, too. Remember, Mr. Gottfried,
yes.
CISO is only $3.99 a month, and it's ad-free.
Ah, that's good.
So try it now for free. Join now.
Believe me, and after another couple of commercials like this, our show will be ad-free.
Join now as a guest to get access to our extensive comedy collection. No credit card needed. I love that you can watch the entire Monty Python library, yes. Gilbert, including The Holy Grail, The Life of Brian, all the Flying Circus episodes. They're remastered into HD for the first time. The full Kids in the Hall catalog. Love the Kids in the Hall. We should get the Kids in the Hall on the show. Entirely remastered into HD for the first time. Plus, there's more. Every single episode of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, God, even the one I was on.
Even the one you were on.
The one I was on teaches you just how bad Saturday Night Live can be.
That one may be a throw-in.
Yeah.
They may not be charging anything for that one.
That was a bad one.
And CISO is also releasing over 40 new shows and stand-up specials from people like Cameron Esposito, our old friend Dan Harmon, the very funny Scott Aukerman, Jonah Ray, and more. CISO for yourself for free right now only at CISO.com. Gil.
Yes. Mr. God.
Sorry.
Yes.
Do we want to do a couple of questions in the room? Does anybody have anything? I feel like we're neglecting the room. The trusty Steve is here with a roaming mic. This gentleman, John, I'm going to introduce you, John.
Yes.
John Fotiadis.
That's it.
One of our loyal fans is here.
I am.
Architect extraordinaire.
I'm a convert, that's for sure.
Go ahead, John.
Groucho, why did you invade Iraq?
Because Chico needed the money.
Thank you, John. He's setting us up. We should travel everywhere with him.
Ask me one other important question.
Groucho, why did you create Al-Qaeda?
Because Chico needed the money.
Thank you, John, for the setup. This gentleman in the back. Identify yourself, sir.
Hi there. I'm BJ.
Hi, BJ.
Are we any closer to getting a hold of Papillon Susu?
You know, I don't know. Have you tried to call her? I think we tracked her down to London.
Should we explain the whole Papillon Susu thing?
Papillon Susu was the girl in Full Metal Jacket who goes, me so horny. Me rough you wrong time.
Yeah.
And I got to find her.
This is Gilbert's idea of a great get for the show.
Yes. But to me, like...
A woman who had one line in a movie in 1988 and possibly doesn't speak English.
Yeah. As much as as much as, like, we'll always have Paris, and I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, I mean, this is an immortal line. It really is. Me so horny.
Well, last we checked.
Phil Silvers. Yeah.
I was just to update BJ's question, just to give BJ an answer. We did a little research into Papillon Susu, and she left the business, and I believe she's a chiropractor living in London. So if this hasn't gotten to her by now, maybe she'll come and talk to us.
All right. Maybe so, I can get adjusted long time.
Maybe. She's on the want list. Should we do some more calls
yes.
to amuse the people in the booth, if nothing else? Alexander from Kentucky.
I was listening to the Steve Cox episode today.
Oh, yes.
And, I didn't help you.
Yeah, the writer Steve Cox.
Yeah, Steve
Cox. Lived with Groucho.
No, that's Steve Stoliar.
No, Steve Cox. Steve Cox, the entertainment writer. Episode,
right, he's an entertainment author.
That was a very funny one.
Okay. Yeah. But the Dueling Grouchos with Steve Stoliar is one of my favorite episodes.
That was a great one.
The writer Steve Cox, actually, he said that... Jerry Lewis was the one with the glass top coffee table.
I actually have a tape of Jerry Lewis under the glass coffee table getting shit on.
Okay.
Here, I'll switch it on now. Why in the thing with the punching? Woohoo! With the thing and then he go, wow!
Thank you, Alexander. Okay, do we have Tom in New York? I'm afraid of this one. Tom?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I've heard a lot of podcasts in my life, but this one's the best. I don't know if Frank gets enough credit for being the backbone of the show, but
You're sweet. You're going to make people think I know you.
Well, more importantly, you're the best Gilbert Wrangler out of anybody I've ever known.
Yeah.
That's how he's listed in the credits.
Yeah.
Gilbert Wrangler.
I have a special skills on my resume. Gilbert Wrangler. Yeah, thank you for the compliment,
Tom. I wanted
Tom.
To ask you guys.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried reaching out to Shecky Green again after that terrible phone call?
Are we going to have Shecky back? We'd like to have Shecky back.
Yeah. Because for those who don't remember, Shecky walked out on a Friars thing that I was performing at. And he said he was offended by the language.
Yeah.
And he goes, I was in the Navy. I never heard language like that before.
And Barry was there.
And he I think he threw a punch at Freddie Roman.
He tore up his Friars card.
Yes!
Yeah,
yes.
He tore up his membership.
Or tried to, but didn't have the strength.
Because it's laminated.
Yeah. And he got up and walked out, which surprises me in two ways. Number one, he could get up, and two, he could still walk. And Stewie Stone, one of those moments where I'm happy to be in show business. Stewie Stone said to me, that Shecky, he's a fucking asshole.
Barry remembers it well. Yeah, well, I know. Yeah. Oh, not that Barry Daugherty. We'll try to get Shecky back. I don't know. That's a tall order. But you didn't enjoy the 12 minutes we had with him? When he was screaming at us?
It didn't seem like he could hear the phone call at all, or he was pretending not to hear the phone call.
Right. Do we have any others in the room before I go back to the phone? This gentleman right here.
Hi, yes. Mr. Gottfried, I drew you as Gilbert Stein's monster somewhat recently, and I just wanted to thank Mr. McFadden for posting that on Facebook. But
what did you draw us? Tell us.
It was Mr. Gottfried as Gilbert Stein's monster. And it was a few months ago.
That was good.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice touch, Joe McGinty.
But I also...
What's your name, by the way?
Michael Anthony.
Hi,
sorry,
Michael.
Yes. And
can I say it's the only black person in the audience?
Yes. I don't know if you can tell by the audio, but...
We have one Asian and one black. So in this way, I can be like Don Rickles up here and going, oh... And the Chinese guy over there is saying this. Oh, and the black guy is in the back.
Yeah. Yes, I am in the back.
Beautiful.
And,
what's okay. your question, Michael?
Yeah, well, it's more of an apology. I
think we should be apologizing.
Yeah, for you. You're right. Got me sitting in the back, by the way. but I also this is going to be awkward, but you can cut this out if you want.
That's okay.
But I also wrote the review, a glowing review of the podcast for the Church of Satan, and
I'm sorry, you wrote a review of the podcast for the Church of Satan.
Yeah, and I was on Facebook, and apparently I forgot to mention you, Mr. Santo Padre.
Oh, well, thank
and it's
you.
Not because your name is Holy Father.
Yeah, well. Don't let that get in your way.
Okay.
But well, thanks so much. Thanks for the positive review in the Church of Satan website. How did we miss the Church of Satan review?
Yeah, that's who the show is produced by. Yeah, oh.
This gentleman right Gilbert, here. Oh, Gary Kranz.
Gilbert, in this political season, can you tell us about the time you met Jackie O?
Oh, see, that's a whole bit. Okay.
You know, the people are setting up old bits from your act from the 80s.
Yeah, this is kind of like when you go on Leno, and he would go, you know, I read somewhere that you had a roller skating gorilla, and you were trapped in an elevator with a roller skate. I don't know where I heard it. Can you tell me a little tender about that? Yeah, years ago, I was at a party, and Jackie Onassis was there, and I figured I wanted to play a little party game to help break the ice. So I went over to her, and I said, do you remember where you were?
I remember.
And she just walked away. She's conceited.
Thanks, Gary. I thought Barry was taking the show down. Mike McPadden has a question. Mike, lay it on us.
Okay, definitive answer now.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Munsters or Adams Family?
Me, Munsters. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I never got into the Adams Family.
Wow.
I don't know why.
You know.
I mean, I was always aware that John Astin was just doing a Groucho imitation. He was always like, oh, Morticia. You know, they would like, yeah. And I liked the Munsters.
I always thought Alan Alda was doing a Groucho impersonation on MASH.
Yeah, a lot.
A little bit, or an homage.
Yeah.
That's a tough call, Mike.
And a request. Can Hervé Villechaize sing Goodbye from Phantom of the Paradise?
Okay.
Oh, I don't know if I have that.
Okay. Back to,
do you know? You Joe knows Phantom of the Paradise.
Some of them. All right. That one. We'll see. We'll see.
Give it your best shot.
Okay.
Or another Phantom song.
All right.
Old Souls. You know that one.
In context, when we say Phantom, we know it's Phantom.
He doesn't
of the
have
Paradise.
A key, Joe.
All right. Okay.
Oh. Did go short and then? Oh,
that's
no!
Paul
I'm
Williams.
Doing Paul Williams. Days go short and the nights get colder. Some people get wise, you just get older. But you never listen anyway. That's the hell of it. Good for nothing, bad in bed. Nobody loves you, you're better off dead. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. We all came to say goodbye.
Brilliant. If you like Gilbert's Hervé Villechaize impression, may I direct you to the Mario Cantone episode where Mario, we did When Harry Met Sally dialogue with Mario as Carol Channing and Gilbert as Hervé Villechaize. It's a can't miss. And as far as the Addams Family is concerned, I like the Addams Family theme a lot better. Vic Mizzy.
Excellent.
Yeah. But they're both great, in my opinion. And we love Al Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
We're just... There was nobody like him.
I remember when I would go to these Al Goldstein brunches and they would have the strangest. I mean,
I don't associate the word brunch following the words Al Goldstein. Anybody else?
For me to be disgusted by the people I was sitting with says a lot. And but I remember a couple of times I would be sitting next to Al Lewis, you know, Grandpa Munster, and he was a character and a half, that guy.
Much taller than you'd think.
Oh, very tall.
Yeah.
Very tall guy. And he, for some reason, he accepted, like, a Western style.
Oh, yeah, with the bolo tie.
and the
cowboy hat.
Yeah,
that was weird.
And, like, these snap clothes shirts, and he would have that smelly cigar, and yeah.
I only met him once when he had the Italian restaurant on Bleecker Street, Grandpa's. And I was in film school, and I had a screenplay sitting on the table.
He walked
over with a stogie in his mouth. He said, "Is that a script?" I said, "Yeah," and he picked it up, and he went like this. Overwritten. That's my Al Lewis story. Should we go back to the phones quickly? Robert in New Jersey, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you, Frank and Gilbert?
Thank you for holding on and waiting through Hervey Villachez.
Happy to listen to the show.
You're a sport. What do you got for us?
So one of my favorite sleeper movies is The Idolmaker with Ray Sharkey.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
So I have a two-part question.
We talked about that with Frankie Avalon.
Yes. Do you have any memory of working with Ray Sharkey when he hosted Saturday Night Live?
Ray Sharkey hosted Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Anybody remember Ray Sharkey from Wise Guy, the show Wise Guy with Ken Wall and The Idolmaker? He had a short career.
Ray Sharkey, yeah. He was starting to get big. He was going to be the next big guy. And I know, I remember they did a takeoff on The Idolmaker. And I think the next question will probably be, can I sing the theme?
Was that your question, Robert?
That was it. Can Gilbert sing a song from The Idolmaker?
Okay. Let me see if I remember just the first words of that. Oh, yes.
Of course you do.
Peter Gallagher sang this. Baby! Baby! I just want to take you where I'm going. Baby! Baby! I just want to take you to the sky. I make you feel good, baby. I make you feel love, baby. I want to take you to the sky. Why, oh, why?
Beautiful.
Why are we not close together? Tell me why. Did someone break your heart?
There's about 40 people in this room. Beautiful.
And
the only person in the room with her fingers in her ears is your wife.
Yes. I should have him on this show to sing a duet, because I sang a duet with him in real life. I saw him at a party, and I started singing that. And he sang along with
him. Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher.
Oh, we should have him on the show.
Yes.
We should ask him, see if he remembers that. You know, I have a story here, too, that I want you to tell quickly. This is fun. You should probably tell the Steve Lawrence story again, because it's the one you told on The View.
Yeah. See, we're always after, like, older celebrities. And I really wanted Steve Lawrence.
Still do.
Yeah. Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet on this show.
Well, Edie's going to be a long distance call now.
Yeah.
But Steve.
And so I asked Dara to call Steve Lawrence's manager to get him on the show. And she said to me, I called Steve Lawrence past. And I thought, oh, that's so sad. I grew up watching him. And I mean, does he have any kids? Should we send flowers? And she goes, no, he just didn't want to do the show.
Oh. I'm fond of that one. Do we have... Bobby Slayton. Do we have Will on the line? Will is with us.
Hello.
Will, let it rip. We're running out of time.
Okay. I wanted to ask about Gilbert opening for Belinda Carlisle in the 80s. I heard there was some of a transcript for it.
That was one where I was going to open for Belinda Carlisle. I think it was in Long Beach. And her manager said to me ahead of time, keep it clean. Which, and I'm the person to hire if you want a wholesome family fun. Keep it clean because there's a lot of little girls and their mothers in the audience. And I tried for about a good 5 or 6 minutes to work clean and was bombing horribly. And then I basically went into every cunt joke I could think of. Yeah. So.
Is there a transcript?
That's the Belinda Carlisle story?
Yes, yes. And they called me up. That night, my agent called up and gave me the classic line of, well, I just want you to know everyone on the tour loves you. That's like showbiz for you've been fired. Once they start, it's like a girl telling you, I think you're a really great guy. You know, that's when you know you're not getting laid.
Speaking of being fired, do you want to quickly tell the story about how you knew you were a goner at SNL?
This was great.
Joe knows this one.
No, I was, it's like they had already fired Gene Demanian, who was the producer. And Dick Ebersole came in, and he said, I'm going to be making a few changes here and there. I want all of you to take a couple of days off, come back, and I'll tell you what changes we'll make. And then each one by one, was waiting outside Dick Ebersole's his office. And while I was waiting, there was a table where they used to keep the fan letters. They would just dump them there. And I picked up a fan letter from a girl from, like, Idaho or something. And I open it up, and it says, Dear Gilbert, I'm so sorry about what happened.
I love that one. Do we have Paul in New Jersey, our last caller?
Hey.
Hey, Paul.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for taking my call. Gilbert was so funny with Alan Thicke's wife on Celebrity Wife Swap. Any funny stories that can you relay?
Alan Thicke's wife on Celebrity Wife Swap. Any stories besides the fact that she was absolutely horrified by you?
Yeah. Yeah, I kept following her around singing the Thick of the Night theme. You know, which, when he sings it, it's... And she kept screaming at me, getting angry, saying, he doesn't sound like that. He does not sound like that. Stop it. That doesn't... And then... We found on the internet him singing a song from, like, in the middle of the disco aerobicize era when, like, you know, like, everybody wanted the next Let's Get Physical.
What is the name of that thing?
Yeah,
hot and Sweaty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweaty and Hot. Get it right. Because Olivia Newton-John had
corrected.
Let's Get Physical, a monster hit. So it was followed by Diana Ross with I Love Muscles. And then Alan Thicke in what? Is like, I think the biggest homosexuals out there watching this video would say this was too gay. It's Alan Thicke surrounded by these skinny boys, all in tight day-glow spandex, and Alan Thicke.
You all have to look at the video.
He's singing, sweetie in, come on, baby, get sweetie in. And she heard that and said, oh, fuck, you, that is how he sings.
Well, we're about out of time. I think that's it for our callers. We're wrapping it up. One last question in the room. Anything? Because and then Gilbert and I are going to sing. Frank. Frank Verderosa, folks, our nutmeg Hi. Engineer. Wonderful Frank.
You've done a lot of singing tonight. And we're in a room enclosed with glass.
Yes.
And I just want to know what this glass is made of that it hasn't shattered. And can I order some for the studio for future episodes? Anyone?
I believe I just had he's dissing you, Gilbert.
You wanna... Yo, yo. See, I'm sounding black. Yeah. I'm telling the black guy in the audience. See, and the black guy's saying, yeah.
Do you want to go out on one of these theme songs?
Oh.
Figure it out.
How about one of the theme songs, Gil? How about Car 54, Where Are You?
Okay.
You know that one?
Kind of.
All right.
Who the fuck got this?
He's doing this out of the goodness of his own heart.
Do you know Chopsticks, for Christ's sake?
And we want to thank Joe and plug Sid's Gold Request Room, Sid's Gold Room, which is a great place.
Thank you.
And also Loser's Lounge Joe's Pub.
Right.
So thank you, Joe McGinty. What do you think? Just try to follow us.
Town Without Pity? That's a good one.
Okay. When we stop to gaze upon a star, people talk about how bad we are.
Everyone.
How can anything survive? How can we keep love alive when these little minds tear us in two? Oh, it isn't very pretty. What a town without pity can do.
Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Ashley Bagoda is here. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Bobby Slayton. Eric Nagel. Frank Verderosa, Brendan Bliss, Gary Kranz, Barry Daugherty, Phil Silvers.
Abe Vigoda is here.
Ashley Vigoda. Abe Vigoda. Mr. Skin, Andrea.
Yeah.
Jessica, John, thank you.
I'll be jerking off to your website tonight, sir.
Thank you all.